from home. Not completely stupid. Don't do it again, and pass that to the ones I haven't caught. Yet. Meanwhile, stay away from Dobson outside the classroom. Keep your heads down. Don't go around his house, and for Christ's sake, don't go bragging about doing this. You hold to that. All that's going to happen is you're all, plus Donna's grandson, who I have caught but haven't talked to yet, going to do some community service. 2 weekends of yard work or whatever your mother needs around the house. No bitching about it. I'm going to check.
You're not going to tell Mr. Dobson? Matthias asked.
No. You're all going to college or into the world of employment. You're going to run into more Dobsons, trust me. Figure out a better way to deal with them. Get to class.
Thanks, Chief, the three of them said, almost in unison. Reed walked off satisfied. Yeah, he thought. It was good to be back to work. Chapter 26 Mail took its time getting to the island. Reed got the next card 5 days after his weekend off, and right before the Memorial Day weekend with its village parade, lobster fest, early bird summer specials, and the first influx of summer people. As always, Donna picked up the mail on the way in and arrived shortly after him. He'd made his first cup of station coffee from the machine he'd paid for himself. He'd settled the dog down with a chew bone and, though it humiliated, the little stuffed dog Barney loved. Reed expected Barney to chew the toy to bits, but Barney habitually clamped it gently in jaws or paws and did no real damage. As he booted up his computer with an eye toward looking over the June calendar again, Donna came to his open door.
Chief?
Yeah. So this arts and crafts festival the second weekend in June? I remember my mother being all about that one year. Do we have an estimate on...
He trailed off as he glanced up, saw her face.
Problem. It wasn't a question.
You got another card in the mail. It's the same handwriting, I know it. The postmark's from West Virginia. I only touched it by the corner to stick it in my tote.
Let's have it.
He hadn't expected another card as much as he'd hoped for one. Another trail. Another break in control. Donna set it carefully on his desk, sat.
I've got something to say first before you open it.
I need to get to this, Donna.
I know you need to get to this, but I've got something to say first.
She clutched her big summer straw purse in her lap.
I want to say it before you open it because we both know this is another threat against you.
Go ahead, then,
he said as he got out a pair of gloves, his penknife.
You kept your word. I believe you'd have kept it whether or not you took an oath on the good book. But that's a kind of insurance. You did the right thing and didn't let those boys, including my grandson, off scot-free, but you didn't mess up their lives over a prank. Dobson hammered at you, pushed at the mayor, but you did the right thing.
It was toilet paper, Donna. Probably biodegradable.
That's not the point. I didn't know what to think about them bringing you in as chief, but I didn't think very well. You're young, you're from the mainland, and you've got a sassy way half the time.
He had to smile, even with the slow burn working inside him over the card waiting on his desk.
I'm sassy?
That's not a compliment. But you do a good job, you treat the deputies with respect, and you kept your word. You're good to that idiot dog.
He's only half an idiot these days.
I didn't like the idea of you bringing him in here, but I'll tell the truth, and say I've got a fondness for him now.
Her fondness, Reed knew, included sneaking the dog tiny bone-shaped treats from a bag she now kept at her station.
Barney grows on you.
I think you need a decent haircut and real shoes instead of old beat-up sneakers.
Reed frowned down at his high tops.
They weren't that beat up. Noted.
Otherwise, she sniffed, you're doing reasonably all right. More or less.
I'm touched.
And you're chief, so that's that.
She dug into her bag, pulled out a black ball cap with chief over the crown in white.
So this is for you.
You got me a hat.
I watch these TV movies all the time, and the chief of police has a hat like this one.
Touched, sincerely, Reed took it, settled it on his head.
How's it look?
Well, you need a decent haircut, but it'll do.
He took it off, studied the chief, put it back on.
I appreciate it, Donna. I'm proud to wear it.
At least people will see it and not think you're some beach bum with that ragged hair and those beat-up sneakers.
She pushed up from the chair.
I'll call in the off-duty deputies so you can brief them after you've looked at that card.
Thanks.
She paused at the door.
You be smart, and you be careful.
I intend to be both.
See that you do. I paid good money for that hat. I don't want anything to happen to it.
He smiled for a moment as she walked out, then put on the gloves, slit the envelope with his knife. This one read,
Thinking of you,
on a floral background. Inside, over a rainbow and more flowers, the sentiment read,
You mean so much to me, I need to let you know. No matter what I see, no matter where I go, you're always in my thoughts.
She'd signed it XXOO Patricia, and on the inside cover had written her personal message.
I can't wait until we're together again. It's been too long. I hope you think of me as often as I think of you, and with the same, should we call it passion? Enclosed is another token of my undying loathing. Until, Patricia.
He lifted out the lock of hair inside the sealed bag. It wouldn't be McMullen's, he thought. McMullen, the abduction, the video, the killing, all that had been not just personal for Hobart, but intimate. This lock of hair was Tracy Lieberman's. He took photos, sealed the original and the lock of hair in an evidence bag.
Just come, bitch. Just stop screwing around and come. We'll finish this.
He contacted Jacoby. Shot her the photos, did the same with Essie. Then he swiveled in his chair, gazed out the window at the flowering bushes. Azaleas, even he knew that much. They made a nice show. He had a couple of them at his house in flaming red, and the wild dogwood, Cece had identified, had burst out in late March between snowstorms. The fishing boats would be out, and the lobstermen. Before long, they'd be joined by sailboats, powerboats, boogie boards, sunbathers, and sandcastles. Whenever she came, however she got there, he'd find a way to stop her from leaving a scar on the island. He flicked a finger down the bill of his cap, got up to brief his deputies. The dog, toy in his mouth, followed him. In her studio, Simone circled the clay. She searched for imperfections, for possibilities of improvements. For the last few days, she'd touched up details, cutting minute bits of clay with hook and rake tools, smoothing out with kidney tools, delicately brushing with solvent to remove those tool marks. She knew from experience, an artist could cut and rake and smooth a piece, searching for perfection, and destroy the soul of it. Her hands itched for her tools, but she walked out, called down the stairs to where she knew Cece sat with her morning coffee.
Cece, could you come up, take another look at Reed?
I'm always ready to look at Reed. You haven't let me look for days, covering him up even when you had Hank and Essie up there.
I know, he wasn't ready. I know he's ready now, but I can't stop looking for reasons to tweak just a little more. Stop me, she said, as Cece reached the landing.
Or tell me to keep going.
Cece stepped in, flipped her long braid behind her back, then circled as Simone had. The image stood 2 feet in height on a base she'd created to resemble a platform of rough stone. She'd caught him, as she'd envisioned, in mid-swing, the sword gripped two-handed over his left shoulder, his body turned at the hip, legs braced, with the right foot planted ahead of the left, and in a pivot. His hair, tumbled and with that hint of curl, seemed to flow with the motion. For his face, she'd sculpted the barely banked rage and cold purpose. Behind his left leg, Barney stood, leaning in, head up, eyes full of hope and trust.
God, he's gorgeous, Cece stated as she circled.
In person or here?
Both. Absolutely both. Simone, this is brilliant. It's stunning, and it's absolutely Reed. The protector, you said you called it, and that's just perfect. Leave it alone. Perfect's often the enemy of done, but you've already gotten perfect.
She traced a finger a hairbreadth from the scars.
Perfectly flawed. Real. Male. Human.
It got more important to me every day. And the more important, I want to cast it in bronze.
Yes, yes, oh, I can see that.
Cece shifted, slipped an arm around Simone's waist.
Will you let him see the clay model?
Nope.
Good. Let him wait.
I've let it dry. Most of me knew it was done. I can start the molding process this morning.
I'll let you get to it. My talented girl, it's going to be a masterpiece.
Okay, then, she murmured when she was alone. She got her brush, the latex-rubber mixture. Stopped herself, got a bottle of water, turned on music, going with one of Cece's new-agey playlists. Soothing harps, bells, flutes. With the brush, she painted the mixture onto the clay. Avoiding air bubbles while coating every millimeter took patience and care and time. She knew his body so well now, the length of torso, the line of hip, the exact placement of the scars. Once done, she stepped back, searching for any tiny area she might have missed. Then she cleaned her brush, put the mix away. This process took more patience. She'd apply the next coat the following morning, then another. 4 coats, she determined, before she made the mother mold of plaster. When that dried, she'd remove the mother mold, cut the rubber away from the clay. She would have the negative image and could pour the wax replica. She decided she'd wait until she reached that stage before booking the foundry she used on the mainland. Pouring the wax replication took several steps, then she'd need to chase that, repair imperfections, remove seams and mold lines. Painstaking, but she preferred doing her own wax chasing as she'd learned in Florence. But by then, even with the steps that followed, she'd have a good sense of when she'd be ready to have it poured. Sipping water, she turned toward her board and the faces that waited. Time, she thought, to get back to her mission. A walk on the beach to clear her head. Then she'd go back to work. Reed walked Barney home in air soft with spring. Buildings, many freshly painted for the season, stood in soft roses, bright blues, quiet yellows and greens. Sort of like a garden with touches of more in baskets of pansies or window boxes spilling with... He didn't really know, but it looked nice. Walking instead of driving reaped benefits. People along his stroll knew him now, stopped to have a word, ask a question. The best way, in his mind, to weave yourself into the fabric of a community was regular visibility, and compliments on flower pots, paint, a new hairstyle didn't hurt. Barney still shied, but not as much, and not with everyone. The dog had his favorites on their comings and goings. Barney's top favorite, Ann Reed's, got out of her car in his driveway as they approached. Barney let out a happy yip, wagged all over, so Reed unclipped the leash and let him go. Perfect timing. Simone bent down to rub and stroke. Her gaze tracked up, amused. Nice hat, Chief.
I like it. Donna gave it to me.
Donna?
Now her brows shot up as she straightened.
Well, well, you are accepted.
Seems like it.
Congratulations, she said,
moving in, winding around him, and capturing his mouth in a long, deep, steamy kiss.
Wow, that's an amazing way to end the workday.
I had a really good workday myself, so...
She kissed him again until he fisted a hand on the back of her shirt.
Why don't we just...
Mm-mm.
She gave his bottom lip a quick bite. Things to do first. You can carry in the supplies.
We have supplies?
We have pasta salad, another draw from my limited culinary repertoire, and some marinated chicken breasts, courtesy of Cece. She says if you don't know how to grill chicken, Google it.
I can do that and supply the wine.
He got out the bag as she took a square package out of the other side. He'd seen enough of them now to recognize a wrapped painting.
What's that?
Your mermaid, as promised. Get me that wine, I'll unveil her.
Hot damn.
He smiled over at her as they started inside. Across the porch, he'd, with Cecil and Matthias's help, painted Orchid.
You must have had a really good work day.
I did. How about you?
Let's get that wine, then we'll talk about it.
He'd started to develop a taste for wine, so he poured two glasses while she unwrapped the painting. It was maybe 18 inches square and full of light. Blue skies blurred pink and gold at the horizon. Blue water streaked with those rich tones. But the mermaid was the star. She sat on a stand of rocks at water's edge, her tail a treasure of gleaming blues and greens with touches of iridescent gold. She ran a gold comb through waving masses of red hair, which spilled over bare breasts, back, torso. Her face was turned toward the onlooker. And that face, he thought, eerily beautiful, exotic, bold green eyes, all-knowing, the perfect lips curved in a sensual smile as water sprayed white against the rocks.
She's... wow. One sexy mermaid.
Cece framed her. She's better at that than I'll ever be. Let's go put her up.
In a minute. First, one more wow and thanks.
He set the painting down, drew her in for another kiss. Held her an extra moment. I think you didn't have such a good work day.
That depends on your perspective. I want to get this said and done so we can put it aside and just be.
He eased back.
I got another card this morning.
Oh, God.
Wait now. What this tells me is she's still hung up on me and has lost her main focus. She's letting emotion and personal bitchiness get in the way. She's given us that trail, Simone, communicating rather than concentrating on evading only. That's a plus for us.
She wants to kill you.
She tried once, he reminded her. I always knew she'd try again. Now, instead of letting it all lie, then coming at me when I'm unprepared, she's giving me a trail and a timeline. Not just me, but the FBI. Jacoby's all over this.
If you're trying to placate me...
I'm not. She's one dangerous, crazy, bloodthirsty psychopath. You're not only on the island, too, you're with me on the island. She wouldn't know that second part yet, but she'll figure it out, and she'll want both of us. I'm not placating you.
That's clear now.
Simone blew out a breath.
Tell me about the card.
This one was a thinking of you deal,
he began, and ran it through, took out his phone, showed her. And the lock of hair again, Simone added. It's not McMullen's, is it? That's been too long a gap.
McMullen, for whatever reasons, hit another category for her.
It's poor Tracy's, isn't it?
That's my take. Forensics will confirm.
I barely knew her, and only through me, but...
She had to take a moment, steady herself.
That link to me links her to me. It's harder than the others because of that.
He brushed a hand over her hair. I love you. This island's my home. I even have a dog to prove it. The people who live here, who come here, they're my responsibility now. I need you to trust me. Trust I'll take care of all of it.
She thought of the sculpture, the heart of it. She'd created it because she knew who he was. I do trust you. You'll make her pay for Tracy and all the others, and that makes it easier. I'm glad you told me first so we can put it away.
Good. Let's do that. Put this away and have a normal evening.
Normal sounds just right.
Okay, then.
He scooped her off her feet, heading for the stairs. What's this?
This is me Rhett Butlering you up the stairs and into bed.
That's a normal evening?
That's how I see it.
He made the turn, dumped her on the bed, dropped down to cover her.
You started it. Driveway kiss. So now I have to finish it.
Barney, who'd witnessed this behavior before, padded over to his bed with his toy, settled down to wait it out. Big talk. Maybe I like to finish what I start.
You'll get the chance.
He lowered his mouth to hers, let the kiss spin and spin and spin out. everything she wanted, Simone thought. Too much what she wanted. All these feelings and needs. The weakness and power rising and whirling inside her. She held on to him and let herself fall. He undressed her slowly, piece by piece. No hurry, not when he felt drunk on her already. He glided his hands over bare skin, felt it heat under his touch, trailed his lips over it, felt it quiver. Time seemed to slow. The air thickened. Every sigh, every murmur, soft as moth wings, floated out and away as they moved together, came together. He loved everything she was, had been, would be. She loved, he knew, so he could wait for her to look at him, into him, and say the words. Because here and now she showed him, and no words were needed. He opened her. She couldn't explain it. He unlocked things in her she hadn't known existed, and he held those secret things so carefully. She ran her hand down his side over the scars. The protector, she thought. But who protected him? I will. She cupped his face, rose up to him. I will. He slipped inside her, slow, slow, with his eyes on hers. I will, she thought again, and surrendered. When she lay beneath him, feeling his heart trip against hers, the beauty flooded her throat with tears. I like your version of normal, she managed.
I was hoping.
He brushed his lips over the curve of her shoulder.
I could spend a couple lifetimes being normal with you.
Not yet, she thought. Not yet. Does normal include dinner?
Right after I Google how to grill chicken.
He levered up, looked down at her.
Hey.
Brushed a tear from her lashes. They're the good kind, she told him. The very good kind. You make me feel more, Reed. I'm still getting used to it. Let's do this. You figure out how to do the chicken and I'll hang the mermaid. I suspect we'll both be playing to our strengths.
Let's see if you feel that way after you eat the chicken.
The good kind? The very good kind. He fed the dog and grilled chicken that was pretty damn okay. He admired the sexy mermaid on the bathroom wall. They took a walk and he studied the spearing green of his emerging lupins before they wound through the woods and down to the beach. They gave each other normal. He tried tossing the ball for Barney to no avail. Then Simone picked it up, threw it. Barney trotted after it, snagged it, brought it back.
Why does he fetch for you?
Because he's a gentleman.
Throw it again.
She obliged with the same results.
Let me have that thing. Go get it, Barney.
Reed tossed it. Barney stared up at him.
Well, for...
Barney.
Simone pointed to the ball.
Get that for me.
He wagged his tail, raced down the beach, and brought the ball back to her.
He's messing with me, Reed decided. I can get him to sit. We've got about a 90% success rate on that. But he gets his head caught in the stair rail a couple times a week. And he's getting bigger, so it's not as easy to get him out again.
They walked on, and he tried a new tactic. Reed tossed the ball back over his shoulder. Barney ran back for it.
I've got his number now.
With Simone's hand in his, and his dog trotting along with a red ball, he watched the moon come up over the water.
Can you stay tonight?
I have to leave early. It's a timing thing. But I can stay. He brought her hand to his lips, watched the moon, and thought he couldn't ask for better normal. Chapter 27 Summer came to the island, and so did the summer people. Day trippers with their sunscreen and beach blankets, weekenders prepared to pack fun and sun into their 2 days. Others flooded in to spend a week or two, a month, or the season. The ferry ran every hour on the hour with cars, bikers, hikers lined up at the dock on both sides of the bay. Every hour on the hour, Reed himself or a team of deputies stood watch. He'd checked on a scatter of bookings by single females, but none panned out. He worked every day, on the roll or off. He walked the village, the beaches, cruised by rentals. Sooner or later, he thought. On a lovely June evening at a well-attended fundraiser in Potomac, Maryland, Marlena Dubowski, victims advocate attorney, political activist, Down East Mall survivor, gave a short speech, raised her glass in a toast. She sipped, mingled, sipped, schmoozed, sipped, and began gasping for breath. As she collapsed, Patricia, in the guise of a wealthy donor, dropped down beside her, quickly snipped a lock of hair.
Oh my God! Call 911!
I'm a doctor, someone shouted. Let me through!
In the confusion, Patricia slipped away. She drove by the fine homes, sweeping driveways, to the post office she'd already earmarked. Humming to herself, she slipped the lock of hair into the bag and the bag inside the card she'd already signed, addressed, and stamped. She'd chosen, "Just because you're you." After sealing the card, she slipped it into the mailbox in front of the post office. Pleased with herself, she took the beltway, cruised off the exit ramp to the mid-level hotel she'd pre-booked as she considered the crowds of vacationers. She only needed a night, a good meal. In her junior suite, the best she could do, she pulled off the ash-blonde helmet wig, took out the blue contacts, the device that pushed her jaw out to prominence. With a grunt, she removed the matronly designer cocktail dress and the body padding beneath. She took the lifts out of her evening shoes. She ordered room service, took a long shower to start fading the self-tanner she'd used. In the morning, she dumped the car she'd rented in long-term parking at Dulles Airport, rent another. A change of plates somewhere along the way, and she'd be off again. She set the photo of Reed on the table beside her bed. She'd bought a frame for it.
We've got a date, don't we? Just because.
Jacoby sat in Reed's office, frustration in every line of her body. We had an agent at the damn fundraiser and she slipped through. People panicked, crowded in, cut him off. He got a look at her and gave chase, but he believes she fled in a black Mercedes sedan, but he couldn't get the plate. No plate light. Reaching in her bag, she took out a sketch. Artist's rendering.
She added some years, some weight, changed the jawline, and she went back to cyanide.
She stayed to see her target collapse, and even got down beside her for a moment when keeping back, leaving, would be smarter.
She's gotten more arrogant, and she didn't know how close you were.
Not close enough. She's going to send you another card.
I'm counting on it. Her time between kills is compressing.
Another sign she's losing the control that kept her under for so long. It goes back to you, Reed, and putting a bullet in her. Initially, I thought, and our analysis agreed, she might string you along. Play it out, because for her it must be torturing you. I don't think that now. She needs to right that wrong.
Agreed. If she wants to take out another on her way here, and at the rate she's escalated, I think she will, you need to put Mi-Hee Jung and Chaz Bergman under some protection. I think Brady Foster falls in there, too. She won't go after Essie yet. Essie's too high up the chain. She wouldn't go after Simone yet if I didn't live on the island. But she won't be able to resist a doubleheader. But...
He rose, wandered over for a Coke, held out a second.
Have any diet?
Hold on.
He went out through the bullpen into the break room, took a Diet Pepsi out of the fridge.
I owe you one,
he said to Maddie, and took it to his office, closed the door.
Thanks. But?
She's escalating and she's devolving, but she's still smart. She's still cagey. We saw just that in how she played us with and after McMullen. She knows, has to know, you're following her route, connecting dots.
You think she'll veer off, take another detour?
If she needs another kill before me, she'd be stupid to take a direct route to Maine. She's not stupid.
Jacoby rose, walked to the map he'd pinned to his wall, studied the pushpins that represented Hobart's kills since she'd started the journey. Any instincts on where she might detour this time?
I have to think about it. Would she stick to driving, book a flight? Will she stick to fame and or fortune, or go off pattern there, too? I have to think about it.
So will I, and the rest of the task force. I had a man in the same room with her, and she killed her target. Drove away. Reed picked up the sketch.
Do you see Hobart when you look at this?
I probably wouldn't have, and witnesses confirmed a southern accent, a good one. She mixed with people, Reed, made small talk, and worked up tears when she spun a story about her daughter and what she went through after a rape. She paid the $5,000 to be there.
She lives the role while she's in it. She's good. Crazy good.
I've got to get back. Contact me when you get the next card. He had traffic issues, parking issues, beach issues, boating issues, drinking issues, even some petty theft to deal with. Every day was a holiday, and people swarmed the streets, shops, trails, beaches. Most days he worked until after sundown and then some. But most evenings he had Simone. If he found an hour or two of quiet and solitude, he settled into his office, studied the map, the faces, tried to put himself in Patricia's mindset. He stepped out one morning, Simone tended to leave at the crack of dawn these days, and found Cece in his yard with canvas, easel, and paints.
Morning, Chief Delicious.
Morning, love of my life. You're painting.
I want the morning light. I've been out here a couple times this week later in the day, which shows how sneaky I am, but I need this light.
He walked around to her. The dog had already hurried over to wag and lean.
It's the house.
And the lupins, he noted. Those rivers of color he still marveled belonged to him.
They're not at peak yet. Next week they will be. But I need this light and a good start before they peak.
I like the lines of this house, always have.
Somebody was smart enough to paint those porches orchid.
Somebody had someone with an artist's eye tell him to.
You figured out painting the main doors that plum would add punch all by yourself.
I have my moments. And HGTV.
More than a few moments. The lupins, they're a study all on their own.
Leon helped me out there, and with the other flower stuff. He knows his fertilizer. I had to buy a composter. He wouldn't take no.
Cece studied him as he spoke. You haven't been getting enough sleep, my cutie. I can see it.
Summertime. Busy time.
And not just that. Why can't they catch her?
She's slippery.
He leaned in to kiss Cece's cheek.
But we will.
He pulled out his key ring, took off a spare.
To the house. Help yourself, and go ahead and lock it when you leave. Keep the key. Just don't roll a joint while you're out here. I'm the chief of police. I have a hat.
He clipped on Barney's leash, walked to work, stopping at a rental along the way to wake up the tenants, college kids, and tell them to pick up the beer and wine bottles scattered every damn where. Left with a warning that a deputy would be back within the hour to find them if it wasn't done. So, he thought, begins a summer day on the island. And since he'd estimated the arrival, it didn't surprise him when Donna brought in the third card.
Don't call everybody in, we're too busy for that. Just contact them, let them know we've gotten a third and this one from Potomac, Maryland.
That crazy woman's ruining my damn summer.
Not making mine a picnic either,
he replied as he got gloves, the penknife, and opened the card.
Cute,
he said as he read the printed greeting. This time she'd drawn hearts with blood dripping from them and arrows through them.
What do you think? I could try some archery. Or maybe we'll just stick with bullets in the heart and the head. Maybe I'll shoot you in the balls first for shits and giggles. The fancy bleeding heart lawyer climbed on my brother's dead body to get on her pedestal. I knocked her off.
She didn't know what hit her. Neither will you, asshole. XXOO, Patricia.
She even drew a very distinct middle finger after her name. Devolving, he thought. Angrier or less able to control that rage, so a more overt threat. She'd need that next kill, no question about it. She'd need that rush. But who? And where? He looked at the map as he contacted Jacoby. Simone inspected every inch of the investment casting over the wax mold. She'd done the wax chasing, used delicate tools for minute scraping, hot tools for filling in imperfections. She studied it now and deemed it ready. She'd taken hours to design, create, and attach the sprue system, the channel system of wax rods and gates to feed the molten bronze into the mold. More hours still coating the wax with slurry. First the very, very fine grain, two coats, to pick up all the minute and delicate details. More layers, nine in all, of various grades and mixtures, letting each dry between coats to create that thick ceramic shell. All the tedious technical work had kept her mind occupied for days, and off the anxiety of that third damn card.
She didn't know what hit her. Neither will you.
Don't think about it now, she told herself. Don't let a madwoman dictate your life. She boxed the shell, carried it downstairs.
Is that Reed?
All ready to go. Simone set the box on the kitchen counter with a little huff from the effort. I appreciate you giving up a pretty summer day to go with me.
I love a trip to the foundry. All those sweaty men and women,
Cece added.
I'll get some sketches out of it.
She checked her hair in the mirror, long and loose with a trio of enormous hoops showing through at her ears.
And I really am looking forward to hearing Natalie's wedding chatter. We'll make it a fun day.
She shouldered on a straw bag the size of the Hindenburg.
Let's get our pretty boy out to the car. You did tell him we're going to the mainland this morning.
I'll text him from the ferry.
Cece narrowed her eyes as they walked out of the house.
Simone, it gives him less time to worry. And no time to try to talk you out of going off island.
Exactly.
Simone settled the box in the cargo area, tossed her satchel back with it, popped on sunglasses as Cece slid on her rainbow-lensed ones. In the driver's seat, she cranked up the radio, shot Cece a grin.
Girl trip! Wee-hoo!
Under usual circumstances, Simone might have booked a hotel room near the foundry instead of pushing the work there to a single day. It wasn't that she didn't trust the supervisors or the workers who were, in their way, artists themselves. But she preferred being in on every step and stage. These weren't usual circumstances, and she didn't want to be away from Reed and the island, so the push was on. He looked after her, she thought, and she looked right back after him. Still, she left Cece to entertain herself on the pouring floor or to wander around the furnaces while she hovered over the worker who placed her piece in the autoclave. She'd used the lost wax method, her preference, and the heat and pressure from the oven would force the wax out of its shell. If she'd done good work, she thought, the protector would be perfectly formed inside the empty, hardened shell. Cece joined her when the workers transferred the hot shell to the pouring floor.
And here we go, Cece said.
Workers in helmets, face masks, protective suits, thick gloves and boots always put her in mind of rugged astronauts. They secured her work in sand while others heated solid blocks of bronze into liquid. She imagined muscles tensed and rippling inside those thick suits as they stirred that glorious molten bronze. Here was art, too, she thought, in the enormous heat, the scent of chemicals and sweat, of liquefied metal. And magic in the glowing light as workers lifted the crucible of molten metal out of its furnace. And the pour, that moment of truth, always enthralled her. Those quick movements of workers moving in unison, the fluid flow of deep, glowing gold like melted sunlight. Inside the shell, her work, her art, her vision filled with that melted sunlight.
The negative became positive, and the symbol and study of the man she'd come to love would be born.
Not as good as sex, Cece murmured beside her, but it's a damn fine rush all the same.
Oh, boy. On a long sigh, Simone released her breath. Since the shell and the form within required several hours to cool, she drove with Cece into Portland, had a long lunch, thank God not at the country club, with her mother and sister. Wedding talk dominated, but Natalie radiated happy, and that glow reflected on their mother. If you can't beat them, Simone thought, join them.
You saw the pictures I sent of the attendance dresses.
Natalie sipped from her second glass of champagne.
I did,
Simone told her. They're lovely, sleek and elegant, and I love the color.
Boysenberry.
Tulip indulged in more champagne herself. I had my doubts, and I admit I tried to talk Natalie into something more traditional, but she was right. It's a striking color, especially with her accent colors.
The blush and pale silver, Cece nodded. You've got an artist's eye when you want one, sweetie.
I was hoping you and Simone would wear the silver. If you'd look for a dress in that color. The boutique I'm using has some really beautiful choices, and there's still time to customize.
I look good in silver, Cece mused.
You're not in the wedding party.
Natalie shifted her gaze to Simone.
But I'd like you to... I want you both to be part of it.
Why don't we go to the boutique after lunch? Simone suggested. You can help me pick out a dress. Natalie blinked.
Really?
You're the bride, Nat. Simone tapped her glass to her sister's and caught the glint of tears in her mother's eye. Let's all go shopping. Just a dress to her, she thought, but a symbol that mattered to both her sister and mother. And it would fill in another couple of hours while her bronze cooled. By the time she and Cece drove back toward the foundry, with dresses, shoes, bags, wraps for a fall wedding, she felt energized.
I actually enjoyed that, she marveled.
It never hurts to get out of our own comfort zones.
You made them happy.
We did.
Yes, we did.
She gave Simone an elbow.
Now they owe us. Big time.
Since she wanted to do the rest of the work herself and didn't want to spend her days off island, Simone had the foundry load the encased bronze back into her car.
I'm texting Reed, Cece said as they drove onto the ferry. I want him to know we're on our way back.
I don't want him coming back to the house until I've done the breaking out and have the bronze back in my studio for the metal chasing.
I'll hold him off, and I'll call on a couple of strong men to haul it out on the patio.
As she texted, she glanced at Simone.
I want to be there for the breaking out.
I wouldn't have it otherwise.
2.5 hours later, Simone swiped sweat off her forehead. Bits and chunks of shell lay over the tarp along with a variety of hammers and power tools. And the bronze stood in the early evening light.
Gorgeous, Simone. Gorgeous.
He will be.
She'd grind off the sprues, finish the surface with pads from coarse to fine, retexture here and there, and perfect.
Few more steps.
She circled it. The metal chasing, a good sandblasting, then the patina. But I can see it, Cece. I can see it's exactly what I hoped.
So's he, whether you know it or not.
I didn't hope for him, that's the thing. For a while, I didn't hope for anything, and that was useless. Then I woke up, and I hoped to be able to do something like this. That was enough. It honestly was, because I had you and this place and could always come back. And then... he looked at me.
She crouched down, traced a finger over the bronze face. He loves me.
A lot of men and a few women have loved me. It's not enough, baby.
No, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be even though he's beautiful and kind, he's brave and smart and so many things. That wouldn't be enough.
She pulled off the bandana she'd tied over her hair.
But he unlocked something inside me, Cece. And unlocked, I see more, feel more, want more. He made me believe. I love him because of who he is and who I am with him.
When are you going to tell him?
When this is finished and I show it to him.
She straightened. Is that silly?
I think it's profound. I'm going to help you clean this up and get this beauty upstairs.
While Simone chased metal, Reed rounded up a couple of kids who felt tossing lit firecrackers into trash cans in the public bathrooms was the height of vacation fun. He might have let it go with simply confiscating the rest of the cherry bombs and ash cans and a lecture, but the father, who'd apparently enjoyed more than his fair share of booze on the beach, got in his face about it.
What's the big deal? They're just having some fun. Didn't hurt anybody. And I paid good money for those cherry bombs.
The big deal is they broke the law, endangered public safety and their own, and destroyed property.
Bunch of trash is all.
Still trying for some diplomacy, Reed nodded.
Which they'll clean up.
My boys aren't janitors.
They are today.
Hell with that. Come on, Scotty, Matt, let's go.
They're not going until they clean up the mess they made.
Drunk Dad puffed out his chest.
What are you going to do about it?
Diplomacy, Reed concluded, couldn't always work.
Since they're minors, I'm going to fine you for contributing to their delinquency and for bringing illegal explosives onto the island.
Bullshit!
He smiled an affable smile.
No shit about it.
I'm not paying a red cent to some rinky-dink play cop trying to hose me down and harass my boys on our vacation. I said let's go!
He turned. Reed shifted to block him. Red-faced, riled up, he shoved Reed.
Well, we'll add assaulting an officer to that list.
Only slightly amazed, Reed dodged a wild swing, then settled the matter by spinning the man around and snapping cuffs on his wrists.
This is not the way to behave, Reed told the boys, as the older one gawked and the younger began to cry. Sir, you're considerably inebriated, Reed continued, as the man struggled and swore,
with several in the crowd that gathered taking pictures and videos with the ever-present cell phone.
You're resisting, are now a public nuisance, not to mention showing yourself to be a bad influence on your minor children. Is your mother around?
Reed asked the boys. The younger one blubbered,
It's our week with Dad!
Okay, let's settle all this at the station. Sir, I can perp walk you there, or you can come along quietly.
I'm going to sue your fucking ass.
Perp walk it is. You need to come with us, Scotty, Matt.
He glanced down at the dog, sitting, waiting.
Let's go, Barney.
By the time he got to Cece's, he had a dinner invitation. It was after 9, and he wanted a drink like he wanted his next breath.
Rough one?
She asked him.
Ups and downs, with the deepest down a couple of kids with cherry bombs scaring the crap out of people, and their drunk, argumentative father who capped it off by puking in my office from a combination of temper and booze. It wasn't pleasant.
I'm going to get you a beer, then plate you up a spicy barbecue sandwich that's one of my specialties when I'm not a vegetarian.
I love you, Cece.
Go sit out, drink your beer, and look at the water. Some ujjayi breathing wouldn't hurt.
The beer helped, and so did the water. The look, scent, sound of it. Maybe the breathing didn't hurt. But Simone, stepping out, her hair was kind of coppery lately and right now tied up with a blue bandana, carrying a plate of barbecue and potato salad, smoothed out all the rest. She offered the plate, tugged on the hair under his cap, bent down to kiss him. Cherry bombs and drunk vomit.
Yeah.
He gestured to the dog already snoring at his feet.
It wore my deputy out. How are things on the mainland?
I bought a dress for my sister's wedding, so did Cece, and we earned major points by letting Natalie and Mom help pick them out. And shoes. I did the sketches, well, several, but settled on the winner for Natalie and Harry's wedding topper.
I'd like to see it. It's happy,
he said.
Happy's a good way to counteract drunk vomit.
I'll get it. He ate, watched the water, listened to his dog snore. She brought out her pad, sat on the arm of his chair. This is the one that speaks to me. He studied the sketch of a woman, cotton candy pretty, in what he thought of as a princess dress. All billowy in the skirt, sparkly up top, it suited the bride with the tiara on her upswept blonde hair. The groom wore tails in a deep gray, a long silver tie, and that suited his golden god good looks. The groom spun the bride into a dance, more billowing from the skirt, and they looked at each other with all that happiness, as if they'd each found the answers to all the questions.
You need to frame this for her.
It's a little rough.
It's not, and I bet she'd really love having it. Sign it, date it, frame it.
You're right. She would love it. I'll have Cece, Matt, and frame it. I'm going to do the topper in porcelain and paint it.
From the look of the dress and the tails, this says big, formal, fancy wedding.
278 so far on the invite list. Black tie apparel for guests. That covers the big and the formal. The rest, as fancy as they can make it.
Is that what you want? And as fancy as you can make it wedding?
I never said I wanted a wedding.
We'll get to that down the road a bit. And the three kids will never hand cherry bombs in a fricking match.
She felt a flutter in her belly. Couldn't decide if it was anxiety or pleasure.
That's a lot of projecting, Chief.
It's just the way I see it. Unless Cece changes her mind and takes me as her sex slave, then the deal's off.
Of course.
Before all that, I have to talk you into moving in with me. That can wait, too. We need to build on a studio for you first. I'm working on that.
You're... what?
Not working. Summer's too busy for that. I just asked Donna's cousin, you know, Eli, he's an architect. I just asked him to draw up some ideas for it.
He drank some beer and thought how cold beer and spicy barbecue smoothed out a thorny day just fine.
Of course, if Cece answers my prayers, I'll just move in here, and we'll kick you out. It would be awkward for everybody otherwise.
He closed his eyes as he spoke. Smoothed out, but Jesus, he was tired. She stared out to the horizon, at the glimmer of moonlight on the water between them and the end of the world.
In this fantasy of yours, do I have any input into the design of the potential studio?
Sure, that's why Eli's drawing up a few ideas. Then you can look them over, play with them. Plenty of time.
She thought of the sculpture in her studio and the time she needed to finish it, perfect it, show him. Maybe she should show him now, as it became, the way he'd shown her what could be.
I think we should...
She broke off when his phone signaled and shifted so he could pull it out. She saw the readout. Jacoby. What could be, she thought as she left him to talk of murder, had to wait. Hobart hit and hit fast in Ohio, in an upscale suburb outside of Columbus. The target, a popular local newscaster, had received the warnings from the FBI and had taken them seriously. He'd never forgotten that night at the Down East Mall. He'd been 28, working at the Portland TV station, mostly covering fluff and trying to work his way to hard news. He'd been shopping for a video camera when hell had come. He'd taken cover, and he'd recorded some of the carnage, with his own shaking voice struggling to describe what he saw, heard, felt. McMullen had gone one way with her reporter's luck, and Jacob Lanson another. He'd turned the recording over to the police with his still trembling hands, but when he got out of the mall, he'd found the crew from his station. He'd given them a first-hand, real-time report. He'd moved up the ranks and snatched the local anchor job in Columbus when it had come his way. He'd married a Columbus native, the daughter of a wealthy businessman. He'd achieved fame and fortune. Patricia's luck came when a woman driving and texting a friend that she'd be late for a lunch date struck Lanson's BMW convertible. He suffered a wrenched shoulder, broken ankle, and whiplash. Grateful it hadn't been worse, Lanson took some time off to recover and arranged for in-home physical therapy. It only took Patricia 2 days to determine the therapist wore a bouncy brown ponytail, favored t-shirts and jeans, and carted a massage table when she arrived every day at 2 in the afternoon. Patricia rented a car of the same make and color as the therapist's and, wearing a brown wig, a simple t-shirt, and jeans, arrived 10 minutes early. She angled the massage table to obscure her face. Lanson, in his ankle cast sling and neck brace, checked his security monitor, disengaged his alarm, and opened the door.
Hey, Ronnie, you're early.
Right on time,
Patricia told him, and shot him in the chest, adding two headshots when he went down. She shoved the table inside, snipped off a lock of hair, closed the door, jogged back to the car. All done in under a minute. Since she intended to dump the car at the airport, she didn't care if anyone saw her drive off. After the dump, she took a cab back to Columbus and bought a second-hand luxury SUV for cash. Time for an island holiday, she thought, as she stopped long enough to mail Reed what she intended to be his last card. Over 4th of July week, visitors flooded onto the island. Hotels, B&Bs, and rentals ran at capacity, and strips of beach became a sea of umbrellas, blankets, and beach chairs. In the little park off High Street, the band shell rang with patriotic music, while kids, and more than a few adults, lined up for face painting, snow cones, and funnel cake. To beat the heat, and there was plenty of it, people bobbed, swam, floated in the water. Boats glided in and out of the marina, white sails rising, motors humming. The air smelled of sunscreen, peanut oil fries, sugar, and summer. Reed worked 12-hour shifts and realized that, without the little problem of a serial killer, he'd have enjoyed every minute of it. In the winter, the island held the quiet, peaceful beauty of a snow globe. In the spring, it bloomed and awakened. But in the summer, it burst bright with sound and color and crowds and clashing music. Like a daily carnival, he thought. And with summer, two ferries ran, one disgorging cars and pedestrians at the island dock, while the second loaded up departures and sailed them back into reality. On the 4th, as he did every day he could manage it, he watched the ferry dock, watched cars, trucks, campers, people spill off. Beside him, Simone scanned faces as he did. You think she'll come today?
I think today's the biggest influx of people, and it's a good day to slip through. The ferry operation has people at both docks looking for a lone female, and I've got two deputies down there.
He lifted his chin toward the cruiser.
They've spotted a few since June, and all of them checked out. The marina's doing the same with private boats and charters.
But a lot of people.
Yeah. On the other hand, she's smart enough to know that we'd look and look hard on the holiday weekend and the 4th. If I'm her, I wait.
Like you're waiting for the next card.
No mail service on the 4th.
He watched the last passenger, a minivan loaded with kids, drive down the ramp.
Barney and I have to go to work.
You could deputize me.
Can't afford you.
He gave her a kiss.
I'd feel better if you stayed out of the crowds today. You said you and Cece avoid most of it anyway, and watch the fireworks tonight from the patio. Just do what you always do.
I'd feel better if you did that with us. He tapped the chief on his cap. With the parade, the park, and the beach activities, the general craziness in the village, she could be anywhere, Reed. She could, God, get you in the crosshairs from a window in the Overlook Hotel.
She won't come at me that way. She won't. It's personal. She needs to see my face, needs to look in my eyes and have me look in hers. And she needs to get away with it. Trust me.
I am.
She gripped his hands.
I'll wait for you.
At Cece's. Stay there tonight. I'll be there after the fireworks. She's not here yet. Maybe some of Cece's a little bit psychics rubbing off, but she's not here yet.
It didn't stop him from searching crowds, picking out women, watching for someone watching him. After the long day, he stood with the crew of volunteer firefighters and watched the sky fill with color, listened to air ringing with blasts like gunfire. Not yet, he thought as people cheered. But soon. Chapter 28 She came 3 days later, sliding the second-hand SUV into the line waiting at the mainland dock. Like many who waited, she stepped out of her car to wander. She'd let her own hair grow to her shoulders, colored it a beachy blonde. She'd used self-tanner religiously over the past few weeks, and with careful layers of makeup, she'd achieved a healthy glow. Under big, stylish sunglasses,